And the people said,
Amen.
Thank you, Katie, and choir and musicians, for reminding us that our praise is like that incense, that it needs to keep rising up. And he's worthy of it all. My goodness, it's been a wonderful day of worship thus far. Let's pray I don't mess it up, okay? If you have your Bibles, open with me. Guess where? 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. We're going to add another passage, and it'll be up there as well. We're going to look at where we are invited to turn from our wicked ways, your ways and my ways. And we're going to use an illustration that I think Jesus gives us that just reminds us so wonderfully well. It's a very famous story. It's a story of a trio of lostness, one of sheep and one of a coin and one of a son. And we call that son the prodigal son. And so, after we have read 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're going to continue right on in to Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 24. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's holy word. As Solomon has dedicated and is in this long process, days of dedicating the temple where God will be in the midst of his people, God responds to a prayer that Solomon has offered in chapter 6 with these words in verse 14. God says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin. Wow. And heal their land. Jesus tells us in Luke 15, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there, he wasted his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country. Isn't that always how it happens? And he began to be in need. And so he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. Wow. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. I love verse 17. Oh, church, hear verse 17. But when he came to himself, I just want that to hang in the air a little while. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish with hunger. I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose. And he came to his father. I love this next verse that says, I see a looking dad A dad who I think has been watching that road that comes to the house for a long, long time. He says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Aren't we glad our Father sees us even when we're a long way off? And he felt compassion, and he ran, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said this in Scripture. He said, hush, boy. I'm pretty sure he did. And he said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him and put a ring. He reinstated him as family. Put a family ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring forth the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead. And is alive again. He was lost. And is found. And they began to celebrate. I bet they did. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Pray with me. Oh God, thank you for allowing U-turns. Lord, there's someone in the worship center today that needs to make a U-turn. Maybe some of us today need to celebrate the U-turns we've already made and give you all the glory. Oh God, you know every heart, you know every need, you know every decision that should we make it for you, it will change forever. Help us make it for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever seen those signs that say, no U-turn? You know, the only time I ever see them is when I'm ready to make a U-turn. And they know. And they go and put those silly signs right there. Today we're going to lay this story Jesus tells all the way back to the children of Israel, because this is the dedicating of the temple. This is what we still call the United Kingdom. These are glory days in Israel. David, the greatest king Israel ever had, has set it up, and Solomon is following through, and it is a glorious, it is good. And Solomon prays, what happens when we mess up? And you know why he prayed that? Because we mess up, you and I. And he knew they would. And we know, if we've read the Old Testament, that they do in fact mess up. And this story that Jesus tells, I think one of the greatest stories that's ever been told. Oh, you know, sometimes there are a lot of details I'd like to add to Jesus' story. You ever done that to a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And sometimes I'm saying, you ought to thump that boy one time before you went and got that calf. I'm just saying. But that's not the image. That's not the picture. God allows U-turns. God, today, if there's someone here who feels distant from God, who feels like life has just gotten in the way, maybe decisions we've made, choices we've made, or decisions we haven't made have gotten in the way, I want you to know you can walk out of this worship center today with a light heart and a praise on your lips, because God allows U-turns. God wants to restore. That's his nature. That's how he created us. I think that's why he created us, because he loved to celebrate when we come to him. Oh, a U-turn is that 180 degree maneuver. If I'm walking this way and I'm doing a U-turn, I'm going to turn and walk this way. You know what that is also? That's the word of repentance in the Bible. That's when we're going the wrong way and we turn 180 degrees and start going the other way. That's the call for us. It's easy to get confused in this world. I heard a story about a cop that pulled a guy over for making an illegal U-turn. And he asked the driver, "Didn't you see the sign?" And the guy said, "Yes, that's the problem. You don't understand. You see, I didn't want to turn here, but I saw that sign. And you know what it said? It said, 'No, you turn here.'" Well, it's easy to get confused in this world. I bet somebody here today might have a little confusion. The Bible says that the devil will make us call right wrong and wrong right. And maybe today, if we were to say, "Holy Spirit, would you do inventory in my heart?" And maybe some things that I have decided were okay, that there's something in me that says maybe they're not okay. Maybe some things that everybody's doing, I've been doing, but I don't know. Today, as I open my heart, I hear you say, "Maybe not." In our text, we have to first recognize our condition. Unfortunately, the Old Testament teaches us that the children of Israel, they would not understand God's covenant, and there would be calamity. Assyria and Babylonia and ultimately Rome would all be used as God's instruments of judgment for their wicked ways. Church, listen. God still hates wicked ways. I don't care what our society has decided is okay. God still hates wicked ways. He is our standard. He is our barometer. He is our canon, which means measuring stick. He decides. The Bible says we all have wicked ways. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The prodigal comes up with this crazy plan. Now, if I were telling that story, I would have to add that the dad talked to him, set him down, lectured him, encouraged him, tried to show him how bad it was. You know, when we come to church every Sunday and we listen with our spirit, God comes to remind us of all the plans that could take us the wrong way. "He who has an ear," Jesus often said, and in the book of Revelation, every letter to the seven churches said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." If we listen, we don't have to be a prodigal. We don't have to receive God's judgment. We don't have to go the wrong way. And if we are, God allows U-turns. And today could be a day to turn. Oh, the lifestyle of that child, that prodigal son, that youngest son, that hard-headed, rebellious boy, was one who was ungrateful. Oh, we're coming up not too far from now. I'd just skip Halloween if I could. I'm not a fan, just let you know that. But I'm excited about Thanksgiving. I'm excited about a time of gratitude. Today, are you grateful that God has done all He's done for you? You see, our story shows this young boy who needed to take a U-turn because he went to a faraway land and he squandered, he wasted, he lived his life on riotous living. When we get to the last part, and we won't today, but when you get to that elder son, he says, "He wasted everything you've worked for, Dad, with harlots, with prostitutes, and you're going to reestablish him?" What terrible decisions he made. He went from, no doubt, a well-off, well-deserved place to the worst of the worst. Where are we today? You see, he had to recognize his condition. It took a lot to get his attention. You ever have to have your attention? I heard about a fellow that sold a mule. And the fellow, he said, "That is the best mule you've ever had." You tell him to plow, he'll plow. You tell him to whoa, he'll whoa. You just tell him to turn, he'll turn. He gave him all the sounds. You ever watch anybody plow with a mule? They don't talk, they click, you know? I love that. They just click, right? What about a fellow bought his mule and said, "This is great." He couldn't get that mule to do nothing. That mule wouldn't even, he just stood in the barn and wanted to eat hay. That's all he wanted to do. He called the fellow up and he said, "That's the worst mule there's ever been. What in the world have you done to me?" He said, "No, that's the best mule there's ever been, I promise you." He said, "I'll be by your house tomorrow." So he walked up and there's the old mule just standing in the barn. Fellow walked up and said, "Here he is, that's all he does." Fellow reached over and picked up a 2x4. "Don't get ahead of me." And he smacked that mule right between the eyes as hard as he could hit him. He said, "Let's go." And off that mule went. And he looked at the other fellow and says, "You just got to get his attention first." You know, sometimes I wonder what God has to do to get my attention. Because I can just put blinders on and I can say, "Lord, all I want to do is eat at your table. I don't want to work in your field. I just want to enjoy the good. I don't want to do the hard. I want to live in the resurrection, but I don't want to pick up a cross every day and tote it around all day long. I don't need to be hit between the eyes with a 2x4. Well, maybe I do sometimes. But you know what I really need to do, church? You know what we really need to do? We need to see the cross. We need to see the cross that Jesus died on for you and for me. We just need to see the cross. What a gift. What a gift. He recognized his condition. I wonder today, do we realize where we are in our walk with God? Are we giving him our best? The second thing required to come to God is to make that U-turn. Solomon understood that God would not ignore the sin of his people. Listen, church, being saved is not a get out of hell card, and that's all it is. That's not what it is. It's about today. It's about how we live. It's a recognition that you and I are unholy and God is holy, that God is good, that God demands our best. The prodigal, he realized his condition, and then he came to himself. I love the old preacher that didn't have the best English but had some tremendous theology. And he was preaching one day, and he was preaching on the prodigal. And here's what he said. He said, "When the boy realized how dumb he was, he took off his hat and he threw it to the ground." He didn't throw it to the ground. He threw it. Okay, you with me? "And he took off his coat and he threw that to the ground. And he took off his belt and he threw that to the ground. And finally he took off his robe and he threw that to the ground. And then he came to himself." I wonder today, are there some things that we've put in our life or on our life that we need to get off to come to ourselves, to get down to being honest with God? You see, sin, even in a believer's life, will separate us from all that God would want to do. Someone said, "Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay." Today, church, if we're to present to our Lord a glorious church, oh, I felt the power of worship as we were singing together today. If we want that to go with us, then today there may be some areas. No, there are some areas in your life, in my life, where we need to make a U-turn. We need to repent. We need to turn from where we're going to be where God wants. Our youth at Flat Springs 100 years ago did a little skit on Youth Sunday, and it was one of the most meaningful moments in my worship. And I can still see little Sydney, who's probably 30-something now, but she was doing the thing, and they put a chair right there. And she prayed this prayer: God, I'm going to let you sit in the chair of decision, in the chair of control in my life. And so we had another little guy that came up to be Jesus, and he sat down in the chair. Amen. We're going to all say before we leave the worship center, Jesus, we want you to be in control of our life. We want you to be Lord of our life. And there was Jesus and Sydney just standing right beside him, and she was just smiling so pretty. And then all of a sudden, a person came up and said, hey, there's going to be a wild party. Now, this is for youth, you got it. There's going to be a wild party because so-and-so's parents are going to be gone. And all of a sudden, Sydney started to move over and scoot Jesus out of that chair just a little bit. And another temptation came. And another temptation came. And finally, Sydney was sitting in the chair of her decisions. Sydney was sitting in the spot where Jesus should be. And Jesus was standing beside her. Oh, church, do you see that image? I ask us today, I ask us if we want to come to God, we probably, the biggest sin that you and I commit is making ourselves the God of our own life, the decision maker, the choice maker in our own world. Today, I want to invite us. I want to encourage us. I want us to see the Father looking down the road, looking down the aisle, looking down the aisle, looking down the aisle, and say, I wonder if today my son or daughter will come home. Today, he's looking, he's inviting, he's waiting. As I close today, I want to remind us that when we recognize our condition and we do that U-turn that is required to come home to God, we will find ourselves returning our connection. Did you see the formula that he gives us in that last commandment that God gives us for restoration in 2 Chronicles 7:14? If we humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek my face, the last one. And you got to humble yourself first. Proud people don't make U-turns. When we're still in that seat, we won't make a U-turn. If we don't ask God to give us the strength to come down, we'll stay where we are. If we're not seeking his face more than any other, we can't do that last to turn from our wicked ways. Here's what I know. When we are truly sorry, truly humble before our God, truly praying and honestly seeking his face, it'll change our choices. It'll change what we do and how we do it. I love this story. I heard it when I was a boy. I'm pretty sure my daddy told it when he was pastor. It's Farmer Brown. And all of a sudden, one night, he hears a ruckus in his chicken coop. And it is Billy Bob, his next door neighbor. And he has dug a hole behind the coop and come under the fence. And there he is with a burlap sack. And he's got four of Farmer Brown's prize chickens in that bag. Farmer Brown says, Billy Bob, what are you doing? Billy Bob says, oh, Farmer Brown, I am so sorry. I am just so sorry. I don't know what got into me. Please don't tell Mom and Dad. This is not going to go well. Farmer Brown remembered when he was a boy. He said, I tell you what, son, you let those chickens out of that bag. You go back under that fence. You cover that hole back up. And you don't do this anymore. Oh, I will, Father Brown. I will. I promise you, Farmer Brown. And out he went. Well, the next night, heard a ruckus in the chicken coop. And Farmer Brown went out, and there where that dirt was still soft was a hole. And there was Billy Bob with that same burlap bag and those same four prize chickens. Billy Bob, what are you doing, boy? I don't know why. Oh, my goodness, Farmer Brown, I'm so sorry. I have messed up. I don't know what got it. If you let me off this time, I promise you I'll never, ever do this again. Farmer Brown said, boy, you put those chickens down. You get out of here. You cover that hole back up, and don't you ever let me see you on my farm like this again. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. The next night, don't get ahead of me. There's a ruckus in the chicken coop. Farmer Brown goes out, and there's the hole. And there's Billy Bob. And the same burlap bag and the same four chickens. And before Farmer Brown can even say a word, Billy Bob sees him come. He says, oh, Farmer Brown, I'm so sorry. I don't know what in the world got into me. I don't know how I made... Farmer Brown said, hush, because I'm going to tell you this, son. Church, hear what Farmer Brown's about to tell Billy Bob. He said, son, you're not sorry for what you've done. You're just sorry you got caught doing it. Isn't there a difference? Isn't there a difference, church? Isn't there a difference? You know, if you're just sorry when you get caught, that's not a U-turn. That's not a change. You'll be like Billy Bob. You'll keep making the same choices over and over. Do you want to be restored? Do you want to have your connection? I'm going to close with a different illustration altogether, a different metaphor. You ever had a car that wouldn't crank? We had that happen at the golf tournament. Well, I'm not a mechanic, and somebody will probably come and say, no, there are a lot of other ways. But I know four ways that can happen. The first way is your battery's dead and it needs to be replaced. And they talk about cells in there. I don't even know what that means, but I know that when they're dead, you're done. I want to tell you something. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your spiritual battery's dead. And you need a new battery. And I've got good news. I know the one who can provide it for you. And if you'll come down here, I'll meet you down here. And I'll tell you how you can have that. Because he's died to pay the price for that spiritual battery. And you'll live forever. The second way is a bad connection. I had my jumper cables. And I saw a lady at a grocery store or Walmart somewhere. And she had her hood up. And I figured it was the battery. And so I stopped and I said, man, she says, yeah, it won't crank. And I walked over and I don't even know why I did this because I'm really not this smart mechanically. But I jiggled and the cable was loose. The cable was loose. It was a bad connection. And I don't even know why, but I had a ratchet and I tightened that bad boy up. And I said, try it now. And she said, boom. And she thought I was a genius. And you know what? I let her go thinking I was the greatest mechanic there's ever been. Church, a bad connection. You may have a live battery. God may be alive in your life. He may be the Lord of your life. But things have happened lately and the connection's not tight. You're not praying. You're not reading. You're not worshiping. You're not giving. You're not doing the things that make that a tight connection. Oh, today I want you to check it. The third thing is a drain battery. You left something on you shouldn't have had on. Probably a light. Sometimes this old world will drain us, won't it? Especially if we have things on we shouldn't have on. Especially if we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. I bet there's somebody here today that the Holy Spirit is saying, the power I would have in your life is being drained away because of what you're doing on the internet, because of where you're going, because of how you're living. And I would do so much more. It would be such a sweet fellowship. But it's just draining all of that away. Lastly, it's corrosion. You ever see that battery acid get all over? And that can get between you. You know what that corrosion is for us? Sin. It's unrepented sin. It's sin that you have not said to God, I know I'm wrong. Oh, today, church, do you see the Father watching like that Father in Jesus' story was watching for His Son? I tell you, if you'll take one step toward the Father, you'll walk the rest of the way down the aisle with Jesus by your side, because He just wants you to take one step for Him. I love the way the story ends. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against you. But the father said, hush, boy, my version. Bring quickly the best robe and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and kill the fatted calf. Because today we're going to have a party. My son is home. He was dead, but he's alive. He was lost, but he's found. Today, church, you turn here. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you know every heart. Lord, we're all sinners, starting with this pastor. We're all sinners. None of us do good, not one of us. But in this moment, Lord, there may be someone here that your spirit is speaking to their spirit. Your power is touching their life. They feel your presence. They know what you're saying. They know what they need to decide. They know what they need to do. God, we encourage them to come to themselves and then come to you in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is, Lord, I need you. What's God saying? Not what this preacher said. What's God saying? Would we respond to that as we stand together and sing?